Hi, and welcome to the first episode of On My Way to a BFA with Natalie Nowak. I'm Natalie Nowak, and I'm super excited to be doing this podcast for Broadway Radio. This fall, I was a freshman majoring in musical theater at the Hart School, which is the Performing Arts Conservatory at the University of Hartford in Connecticut. This podcast will chronicle the unique, exciting, and sometimes scary process of getting a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in musical theater. We will talk about the audition process, choosing a school, classes, productions, rehearsals, whether or not you can have a personal life in a BFA program, and much, much more. We will also have conversations with people who know the process of getting a BFA, from professional performers to professors to other students, and anyone else that we think can help explain this one-of-a-kind journey. This episode will focus on my college audition process, and we will talk to Hart School alumnus Andrew Bradis, who left the school just before his senior year to get his equity card on the national tour of The Boyfriend, directed by Julie Andrews. Andrew eventually gave up performing, but has become one of the most entertaining and respected voices in the theater community as his alter ego, annoying actor friend. Before we jump into the first episode, I'm going to tell you a bit about myself. I was born in Chicago, and shortly after, I moved to Connecticut, where I spent the first 5 years of my life. During that time, I saw my first two Broadway musicals, Beauty and the Beast and The Lion King. That was when I fell in love with theater. Shortly after I turned 5, I moved back to Chicago and have been here ever since. I did community theater when I was younger, from about 1st to 5th grade, and then I decided to take a break from musical theater to focus specifically on dance. Dance was a huge part of my preteen and high school years. I was in dance companies and did competitions, and the thing I loved most about it was performing live. Even though I wasn't doing musical theater then, I was still singing for fun. When my mom or dad would leave to run errands, I was at home trying to sing songs like Don't Rain on My Parade and Defying Gravity. I was pretty quiet and shy when I was younger, and I didn't like to sing in front of anyone, so when I was alone, it was my time to totally belt my face off. Thinking about it now, I realize that I probably sounded awful, since I had absolutely no training and was really just trying to sound like the people on the cast albums. It wasn't until my junior year of high school that my focus started to shift away from dance. I took a trip to New York City with my dad at the beginning of my junior year, and we saw The Last Ship, Kinky Boots, and If Then on Broadway. I distinctly remember walking out of Kinky Boots and thinking to myself, "This is what I want to do." I realized that I wanted to make people feel the way I felt as an audience member. When we got back to Chicago, I told my parents that I wanted to start taking voice lessons. They're super supportive of me and they love the arts, so they helped me find a voice teacher. Then it came time to think about college. I always knew I would end up doing something arts related for my career, and I knew that it would involve dancing, acting, or singing. But taking that trip to New York and seeing all those musicals allowed me to see my dreams right in front of me. I realized that I didn't have to choose just one performing arts medium. I could act, dance, and sing by pursuing a career in musical theater. Even though I got a bit of a late start in my musical theater training, it's important to remember that there is no one way when it comes to your career path. Successful Broadway performers have attended all types of schools, and some didn't go to college at all. Everybody has their own path, so attending a BFA program isn't for everyone. However, I felt that I wanted to attend one of the best schools for musical theater, and if I didn't get into one, I would train for another year and then try again. This was a risky decision because on average, most BFA conservatory-style programs only accept anywhere from 15 to 30 incoming freshmen, and hundreds audition. Not to mention that I had minimal vocal training at that point. Nonetheless, I started my college search and did a ton of research. I narrowed my list down to about 7 schools, and I started preparing for my auditions. During that time, I didn't necessarily take voice lessons consistently, but I took enough of them to feel confident about my college audition songs. Singing was something that came naturally to me to a certain extent, so I was able to focus more on learning my specific audition songs, as opposed to learning how to sing from the beginning. The college audition process started in early December of my senior year and went through mid-March. In this episode, I will be sharing stories from some of my auditions. If you're auditioning for musical theater programs this year, this episode will hopefully give you a little inside scoop on what the process is actually all about. The first college I auditioned for was CCM, College Conservatory of Music, at the University of Cincinnati. I was extremely nervous for this audition, but I felt excited too, since it was such a new experience. We drove from Chicago to Cincinnati so that I could tour the campus and audition. On the day of the audition, there was an information session, and the dance call followed immediately. We learned to dance to the song A Musical from Something Rotten, and then we performed it in small groups for the adjudicators. The dance itself wasn't challenging, but it was super fast, so it was difficult in that sense. I am a dancer, but picking up choreography quickly is difficult for me. Overall, I felt pretty confident about the dance audition. Then, it came time for the singing and acting audition. I was so nervous, since this was my first singing audition in almost 7 years. It seemed like everyone else knew what they were doing, and I felt lost and scared. Just to give you a visual, whenever you do a singing audition, you bring your book, which is a binder of all of the songs in your repertoire. My book had 2 songs. Just 2. The other people who were auditioning had huge binders of music, so I was already intimidated before I even walked into the room. When it was my turn, I handed in my headshot and resume, went over the tempo of the songs with the accompanist, and then performed my songs in monologue. The audition went well, for a first audition, and I was proud of myself for just gathering the courage to do it. Now, Andrew Bradis. I spoke with him the week before I left home to move into college. It's time to introduce my first guest. You may know him from the national tour of The Boyfriend, or from his parody Twitter account, Annoying Actor Friend. He is also a book author, having written 2 books, #SoBlessed, The Annoying Actor Friend's Guide to Working in Show Business, and #Grateful, Everything Happens for a Reason. But you will most likely know him as Michelle on Fuller House, the one and only Andrew Bradis. Andrew, welcome to the podcast.
I had to stifle my legit LOL I was giving you when you introduced me as Michelle. I'm so honored to be here representing Fuller House today. Thank you.
Of course.
And representing Heart with a new Heart future alumni. And yeah, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah, of course. So this episode focuses on my college auditions and kind of my process. So I would like to know about your college process. Were there certain things that you were looking for as you compiled a list of schools?
There were and there weren't. It was when I was auditioning, I didn't have, I'll take it back. It was over 10 years ago was when I was auditioning. And so the internet was there, but it was there. The social media wasn't. So a lot of the information that I got about schools in general came from a college fair that came to San Diego, is where I'm from. And I basically ate up every school that came to that one. So I ended up with really focusing on Cincinnati Conservatory of Music. I decided that that was like my holy grail. That's where I wanted to go. It had everything I wanted. It had this huge alumni. It had the cost was pretty good at the time. And then it had this incredible program that I really wanted to go to. And then I also wanted to go to Boston Conservatory and then a few other schools, and Heart was one of them that was at that fair. And I think that was kind of when I established sort of what I was looking for in a school, was primarily through what Heart was offering, which was, you know, there was a closeness to New York City, but it wasn't in the city. I think I'm from, you know, San Diego, so New York is on the other side, and I was maybe just a little intimidated by it. So the idea of going to an NYU, I didn't have the grades for NYU flat out, and I definitely didn't have the money. But an idea of going to a New York City school sort of kind of made me nervous. But I knew that a school like in Connecticut, I felt like by going across the country, I would get the great New York faculty might be coming in and out. And also, the Heart School was really into giving you like at least one show a semester once you're a sophomore. And I felt that performance opportunities were really important to me. So that's essentially, I'd say that cost was huge. And performance opportunities. Yeah, those were 2 of the main things I focused on.
Yeah, I think what you said about being close to the city, but not actually being in New York City, that was something that I was also considering because, you know, there is an intensity about New York and just being in that environment every day, I feel like for me wasn't ideal. So I like what you said about that.
I have friends who went to NYU and they just loved it, but I was like, I'm going to get swallowed in this place. But if I go to Connecticut, then if I have an audition I want to go to, it's, you know, it's 2.5 hours away and I can make that work and I could get that experience.
I agree. Was it important for you to attend a conservatory as opposed to a school with a liberal arts focus?
Yeah, I was really into just Bachelor of Fine Arts. I didn't audition for a school that did not offer that. I wanted strict conservatory. I was definitely of the mindset of if you try to get something to fall back on, you'll gravitate to falling back. So my dad was actually the one who really was the huge spearheader in that kind of idea with me. He was like, if you're going to go all in, you have to go all in. That was what I thought was right for me at that time. And I think that as long as you're going towards what you think is, you shouldn't have any sort of doubts when you're picking your degree. And I would have had doubts if I were saying a Bachelor of Arts, I think, would have been something that I would not have wanted to necessarily pursue at the time, and I'm glad I didn't. But there are people who want that and need that, and I think that that's the right thing for them at that time.
Mm-hmm. And you talked about the family support. Was your mom also that way and kind of pushing you towards exactly what you wanted to do?
My mom definitely was. She unfortunately passed away when I was a sophomore in high school.
Oh my gosh, I'm so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. But like, I think that her and my father were just incredibly supportive people. And I think that, you know, what she represented to me in that sort of realm of like what I wanted to do just only further fueled my dad. So I feel that through the support that I got from him, I was getting the same support that she would have wanted. She might have been a little bit like, well, I'm from San Diego. So she was like, why don't you go to Irvine? Like, I remember we talked about that. It's like 15, like that's an hour away. But I think ultimately she would have been like, it's okay. You can go across the country.
Yeah. My mom is definitely, you know, wanting to keep me here and keep me home. But I'm like, no, I got to do it. Got to go away. And, you know.
Where are you from?
I'm from Chicago.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Chicago. And my mom was from Chicago. So
oh, really?
That's a great city. But see, you have great stuff there. And then at the same time, you're like, you know, I think it's important to just kind of get out. When you want to do something like this, you just sort of need to break through.
To kind of go away and get some space from everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to go back to your college audition process, because auditioning for all these schools is such a crazy process, but I think it's also such a great growing and learning experience for each student that goes through it. So I'm wondering what you learned about yourself through auditioning for all these schools.
I come from a high school where I was in the honors classes, but I wasn't the A student. So all of my peers were in high school were just excelling at everything they were in. Sports they were in, you know, student council they were in. And they were going to go to UC schools, and they were going to be going to Harvard and Yale. And that sort of was something that always felt that, oh, I don't know if I could ever rise to that level of academia. But when the application process for conservatory came around, I had to do the exact same application stuff they did, the exact same tests, SATs, ACTs, the exact same like essays. And then 3 months later, I had to go in and then go to auditions while they're all at winter formal. And I was like, oh, I can have that kind of discipline that my peers had. So I think that was the first time I really sort of experienced that, where it was like, oh, this is going to be hard, but I can do it. And it's even harder now. When I did research for So Blessed, the first book, I have that huge, huge chapter about the conservatory process, just applying. And I was like, oh, now they have pre-screens. Now they have everybody has a dance audition. So it's even harder now. So yeah, I don't envy you guys.
No, definitely. And I listened to that portion of the audiobook. And I thought, I mean, I loved how you went into detail in all those schools and sharing about, you know, exactly what you need to do for each school. But it's such a stressful process. And it's doing your normal college application on top of preparing for all these auditions, you know, and different schools have different requirements. It's crazy.
Oh, completely. It's all similar requirements, but it's not enough for you to like do a paint by numbers audition where you're like, okay, this is my audition I'm doing for 12 schools. It's like, okay, this is audition A, this is audition B, this is audition B1.
yeah, you have but, little versions of each of your audition pieces.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Looking back now on your college auditions, is there anything you wish you would have known then, or anything you wish you would have done differently?
I believe that I spoke about this also in the book. I talked a lot about the Cincinnati Conservatories of Music's audition guidelines pamphlet that they were giving out to prospective students when I was auditioning, and I believe they hung around for a while. They might even still be out there. They've edited it since, because there is a huge portion about body image that no longer is in the pamphlet. But it was basically the do's and don'ts of the audition process. And I read that, and I looked at it word for word like a Bible. And I was like, I'm going to do exactly this, because then I'll be the student that they want. And I wasn't, and I did not get into CCM. I was like, well, they don't want you to sing, you know, overdone songs, so I'll do the most obscure songs. And they didn't end up being the right songs for me, I don't think. And I think I was like, okay, they want people who look a certain way, who are highly marketable after in a graduation. So I'm going to make sure I try to look as best as I can. And instead of just going in and just, you know, acting and singing, I just let that weight carry on top of me. So I wish I just sort of didn't take that so seriously. And I think that ultimately what ended up happening is, it's a funny story. I just remembered this. I had forgotten this happened, but because I'm from California, they do a lot. I did a lot of the regional auditions where you go to a hotel in Los Angeles and you'd audition for like Boston Conservatory and University of the Arts and Hart School and all of them would go there.
The unified auditions.
So the Hart School did theirs on, I guess it was a Friday and a Saturday, and I was supposed to be on Sunday, and they left on Saturday night, and they called, they didn't, it was early cell phone era, so they didn't call my dad's cell phone, they called the home line, and we didn't check it, so when I showed up on Sunday, they weren't there. So I didn't get to audition for Hart live, I had to do a tape, and I had to go and do it on my, like, my high school stage, and I think by that point, I was like, I've already done all my auditions, I don't really care anymore, and I was much looser.
Yeah, and you know, the Hart School was the last school that I auditioned for out of all of mine, and it was the most fun I had. It was the most fun audition because I just walked in and I was like, you know what, this is it. I'd have no more auditions after this. I can just give it my all, and I feel like it's so much better when you're relaxed because you're not as concerned about the outcome.
Yeah, you're not, and it just, and even just that little bit of adjustment affects everything in your audition, and that applies to when you're auditioning in New York now, or to for anything. They say, like, oh, if you don't care, it's much better. I'm like, well, how do you not care? And you get these rare moments where you don't care and there's no stakes, and then that's usually when something happens. That's how I got that tour, the boyfriend tour, when I was in college, because I still had a year of college left, and it was like, I'm just going to audition for this for fun. But you never get those moments. You get them rare in your life where all of a sudden, like, the stakes don't matter. And they're in line with you being the right type, and everything works out. You know, it's like planets aligning. But yeah, so I'd say that, like, if I just wish that I didn't, you know, like, I wish I wasn't spending so much time, like, trying to be what my mind was telling me that the schools wanted.
Yeah, it can be so hard, especially at that age when you're that young. You know, you look at these schools and you say, wow, I really want to get in. I really want to be like their alumni. And you kind of follow everything, you know, so strictly. So I think I really like what you're saying. And I think it's important for our listeners to know that you do you and not what they want to see, because it really, I feel like it really translates in your audition.
It does. And it's the hardest thing for anybody to learn in anything, is to really be able to look at a person who looks like they're the same type as you and realize that you actually offer something completely different than them. And you can't control that. It's a hard thing to learn. I don't think people ever really fully, you know, are able to fully embrace it, because rejection is hard.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Speaking of rejection, let's hear about three more schools I auditioned for, none of which accepted me.
After CCM, I auditioned for NYU, Syracuse, and Ithaca. Out of those three, I felt the most confident about my Syracuse audition, mostly because the head of the theater department was so welcoming, and the students were super friendly. Also, I was much more confident with my songs at that point, so I wasn't as worried about that part of the audition. Next, I auditioned for the Hart School, Point Park, and the Boston Conservatory. My Hart audition was unlike any of my other auditions. My day started out with a dance call. Ralph Perkins, who is the assistant professor of dance and music theater, taught and evaluated the dance audition. His personality alone had me sold on Hart. Maybe I'll interview him in a future podcast episode. The dance was fun and fast, and I had a great time in that audition. Then there was an information session, which was great because the director of the theater division, Alan Rust, told us all about the program and the opportunities that are available for students. Later that day, I had my singing and acting audition. When I walked into the room, there was a warmth that I had not felt from any of my previous college auditions. I had a really fun time. The evaluators were all very engaged and extremely present. I made them laugh at one point in my monologue, which made me feel more comfortable and at ease about everything. I felt confident about my songs, and overall, I felt very comfortable in my Hart audition.
I received my Hart School acceptance letter in March, and I was so excited. Now let's get back to my interview with Andrew.
Okay, so it is that time of year again when high school seniors are starting to prepare for their college auditions. And I'm wondering what advice you have for someone who's about to start auditioning for programs.
Internet. Just use the internet. I remember when I was in your exact spot right now going into freshman year, my friend who was, I think, a junior at Tisch was like, why haven't you been talking to any of the, like, why haven't you looked up anything? You really don't know that much about your school anymore. I was like, yeah, whatever, I'll be fine. And I say, if you're now just starting to look at schools, we have this incredible thing called social media where you can find people who go to the school and have been to the school and just message them. And that might seem weird. And as long as you're just casual about it, say, hey, I'm thinking about auditioning for this school. Do you have any specific advice, or how do you like it? Or would you mind if I could ask you some questions? You'd be surprised how many people really love to talk. I remember when I was moderating the auditions at Hart, I loved sitting in the room with the prospective students and talking to the parents. And if there was somebody's personality I thought was really cool, I would tell the faculty before they went in. And I feel like that could happen if you're talking to somebody at CCM and you know, they may put in a word for you. I don't know. Whereas also on the flip side, if somebody was being really difficult in the room, or I would go in and tell the faculty as well. So that would be the next thing I say, is don't be weird when you're auditioning.
Like, yeah, watch out, all you Hart prospective students. I might be moderating your audition, so.
Yeah, seriously, like nobody cares that you were Sweeney Todd when you were 13. So like when you're like trying to make that the highlight of like, everybody in the waiting room, people are just rolling their eyes and they're like, this kid's annoying. And all it takes is that. But I would say that, if you just make sure, like just use the internet and just be vivacious when it comes to like learning everything. And vivacious may not have been the right word for that. I think I meant ferocious, but I write books. But also the other thing is to remember, I think, is when this gets blurred when anybody's applying to a school, is you are hiring somebody for a service. You, the applicant, you are hiring this school to give you a service. So you need to remember that they have to be up to your standards as well. And you know, I feel like that gives you a little bit more of the control. I mean, yes, they are a service that is picking up clients that they're going to work with. So they may not pick you, but you don't need to pick them either. So I feel like that kind of like you're going to pay like hundreds of thousands of dollars. So you look at these people like you're kind of hiring them, and just remember that they're auditioning you, but you're auditioning them as well. So I think that that's something that might take the stress off a little bit. Just remember like what you're buying.
Yeah, I love that, because I think, like you said, gaining that control by thinking of it that way, it puts a positive spin on it, so it's kind of, it's less nerve-wracking, because you're saying, you know, just as much as you are selecting all these students, we're trying to make sure that your school is the right fit for us. So
yeah, because really like you're going to, thank you. And you're going to turn down schools. Like you're going to get into, you know, everyone's going to get into a certain amount. And everybody's not going to get into a certain amount. And you're going to have to tell the school no. And it is the only time you really have that opportunity. Because once you get out, then you're auditioning to provide a service for an employer. So it actually flips the power there. And then you have none. But when you're auditioning for schools, it's like, yeah, like you're looking for somebody to hire. And just remember that.
Yes. And as you know, I'm about to start my freshman year at the Hart School. And I leave in about a week. I'm kind of freaking out because I don't know what to expect. And I'm pretty sure I'll be excited once I get there. But now I'm just feeling more nervous. So that being said, what advice do you have for someone who's about to start their freshman year in a BFA program?
Every single person is feeling the same way as you. So that should normalize it. And I think that sometimes, like that kind of feeling that you're describing brings out different qualities in people, and some end up going in with an incredibly huge ego to sort of mask that. But like I said earlier, nobody really cares what you did in high school. I know that everybody you're probably going to be going in with was a star where they came from. So I think if you just accept that and just be like, and kind of move on from it and say like, you know, like I said earlier, like don't be weird, just be like, here, I'm here to learn, and all the upperclassmen may seem intimidating, but they're really not. It's the same sort of thing as high school, where they said like some put on a little bit of like an intimidation factor thing, but and some are really, really nice and want to help you. I think that you might, you know, I think freshmen might get humbled because you're going to go, oh my God, all these people are so talented. But you'll see the difference between the sophomores and the juniors and the seniors. You'll start to see how they're, where they are in their own process, and know that you're going to be in their shoes soon anyway. So I think it's more like just like enjoy the ride, and you know, like enjoy and try to enjoy college. I think that there's a tendency to not, because you're like, so, you know, you're doing way more than anybody else is doing at that school, because you're dancing at 7:30 or 8 in the morning, and then you're teching a show until 11 o'clock at night, and that's your day. Whereas like some people are like, people go like, oh my God, I have a 10 a.m. physics class. I'm like, oh wow, that's great. I just did three things before you. So I think it's more like you should find a time to cut loose, but also don't let that ruin you. It's like find the medium, I think, find the balance. And know that everyone's feeling the same thing as you and you're completely normal.
Good, good. Yeah, thank you so much. I feel a lot better after hearing that, so thank you.
Sure, and everything sort of just seems so far away. And at that age, like it's like, but then all of a sudden it's right there. You know, like, I think it was like, I started auditioning. I did my first Broadway audition when I was, before my first semester had ended. And it was like, oh my God, this is, I can't believe I'm doing this. But also, wow, this is so close and tangible now. And it's going to go by so fast. That's my other advice about conservatories. You're going to get in there and people are going to be like, you're going to think way too hard. And it's not the conservatory's fault. They're just trying to teach you different methods. And the next thing you know, you've got like a 45-page beat sheet for Rolf and The Sound of Music, and you don't even know how to say lines anymore.
That's so
but,
funny.
So like, it's like finding that medium, but don't think too hard.
I feel like it's so easy to, especially, I mean, I feel like, I don't know if it's this way for all actors, but it's so easy for me to just get in my head and kind of be like, you know, assessing always everything I'm doing. So I like your advice to just kind of, you know, let it go. And
yeah, another thing that's much more easier to say than to do.
Yes, definitely. Yeah.
Well, you move next week?
I do. Yeah, next week.
Because where in Chicago are you from?
I'm from Evanston, which is just like a suburb just north of Chicago.
Is that near Downers Grove?
It's not too far. It's not too far away, but it's okay. it's the first suburb just north of the city. So.
Okay. Yeah. And did you audition for Roosevelt?
No, I did not.
Okay. Because I have a friend who's about to go be the head of that department now. Okay. But that was the school I ended up choosing between Hart and Roosevelt. And I had this, I was so nervous. And that's the thing I say to people, you're going to be, to kids, I'm like, you're going to be so nervous thinking like, this school is going to change the trajectory of my life if I pick this one over that one. And that is true. But I feel that the business is so small, you end up in certain similar places. Like, I met Courtney Reed, who's Jasmine right now, like 7 years ago. And I was like, and we became friends then. And she was like, oh, I went to Roosevelt. And we found out we would have been in the same grade. I was like, oh, I just met you a few years later. So don't stress too much when you're picking your college.
Did you feel that at Hart there was any, like, I know there's always going to be typecasting, but did you feel that you were kind of able to explore different roles and sing different songs that might not necessarily fit exactly who, like, what you would be cast as?
Or did
you feel like you were put in a box in that way?
I was always trying to put myself in a box, but I think that I personally do believe that I felt that they let me, like, I was very into, like, I want to play the young romantic lead in everything. That's what I wanted to do. But then they gave me character man roles, and they gave me, or I played character men in Measure for Measure. And then they gave me Claude and Hair, which was vocally not what I did. At my best, I was like a B+ Dick Van Dyke singer. Like, that's kind of like, I was a song and dance man type of singer. So to give me the rock show really stretched me. So they do like to do that, at least when I was there. I mean, they're not going to make you do like ridiculously against type. They do want you to sort of have an awareness. I know some people don't. I remember that being a problem when I was there. I felt like a lot of my peers didn't necessarily know what their type was and were trying to figure it out, but they try to guide you toward that, but they do let you. I remember any girl who came in that was only a legit singer, they tried to teach to belt as well, just so they could do it.
Okay, yeah. That makes me feel better, just because, like, I feel like I would be pinned as more of the ingenue, and while I do enjoy those roles, that's not necessarily what I want to play eventually.
Yeah, completely. And even just learning that, like, other, like, a comedic style is just going to help even just when you're doing the ingenue roles. If you look at someone like Laura Benanti and She Loves Me, finds a way to make this role funny that's not really a funny role. So, like, that's a good thing to look out for. And even just ask, like, I want to be stretched to this stuff. People are listening for that. And especially really, really with your vocal coaches and your voice teachers. I felt like that was the most, they're the faculty members that are still very much connected to the city, I felt. So they're going to be the ones that are a little bit more connected to what the business is like now. And I felt like I learned the most about those things from from the vocal coach and the voice teacher. And, you know, they're going to let you sing whatever you want. Yeah, I feel like if you just sit there and be like, oh, can I try this week? Because you're always sort of doing something different week in master classes. From what I remember, it'd be like you'd sing something different every week.
Yeah.
They probably would rejoice in you wanting to sing something against your type. They're going to start really a foundation with you. So it's going to be like a lot of technique for a while.
Mm-hmm.
It might feel boring for a while, or like you're not making progress because you're working on breathing for 6 weeks, but it pays off. Although, like, everybody's sort of different. Like, I find that I'm best with practical application. Like, no amount of standing in a circle doing a breath technique is going to make me better. But for some people, it really grounds them. But you just kind of have to, like, it's like a salad bar. You eventually take from what you know works for you.
Yeah. Cool.
I don't know if that was recorded. I felt like that was a...
That was recorded. That can be the title. It's like a salad bar.
Or a buffet line. It's like a sizzle. It's a nice buffet. It's a food truck. It's a caravan of food trucks in Washington Square Park. And you just, you know, you figure out which kind of artisanal taco works for you.
Oh my gosh. That's a great analogy for
thank you.
Andrew, thank you so much for being my first podcast guest. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I had the greatest time. And I hope you have an even greater time at the Hartsville of Music, Dance, and Theater.
I had so much fun interviewing Andrew, and I think he had a lot of great advice for prospective students and students who are currently in BFA programs. Now, I'm going to tell you a funny story about my Boston Conservatory audition.
The school occupies 3 or 4 buildings, all of which are pretty close to one another. My dance, acting, and singing auditions were all in the same building, but I did get to see the rest of the campus on a tour. I really loved what I saw, and I was super excited for my audition. When I walked into the dance call, everyone was stretching and talking, and it was a low-stress environment. We started with ballet. The center floor combination was simple, and I felt good about it. Then we did an across-the-floor ballet combination. I enjoyed it because the instructor told us the character she wanted us to portray, and this was actually the only school where we were told to portray characters. I liked that because it made it less about us and more about our ability to portray a character through dance. After ballet, we moved on to jazz, and then improv. The improv portion was interesting because it was so unexpected. So if you're auditioning for the Boston Conservatory, now you know, there is improv. You're welcome. Anyways, we all got into a semicircle and cheered on each person as they went into the middle and did whatever moves they wanted to do. The last part of the audition was another jazz combination, and the instructor told us to wear our character heels. I'm a person who takes things very literally. So when the website said to bring ballet and jazz shoes to the audition, I thought that meant we should only bring ballet and jazz shoes. I left my character heels at home because I didn't think there was any chance we would need them. Luckily, I wasn't the only one who didn't bring them, but it made me look unprepared and about 3 inches shorter than everyone else. So word to the wise, always bring all of your dance shoes to your auditions, even if they tell you that you won't need them. You will need them.
Now that you've heard all of my college audition stories, I'm going to share an interview that I did with my parents where we discussed what it was like from their perspective to go through the process of applications, auditions, and finally choosing a school.
Now I'm here with my parents, Angela Renee and Gregory Nowak, to talk about the college audition process and everything that goes into selecting a school. Hey, parents!
Hello, daughter!
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, it's going great.
Cool. So I wanted to start out with applying to schools because I didn't apply to too many, but it was definitely a crazy process of figuring all that out. So I'm wondering what it was like watching me and helping me apply for all the schools and go through my college musical theater auditions.
Typically, the high school seniors already applying to colleges and filling out their Common App, they're writing their essays, taking tests, doing everything they need just to get into college. What adds the other layer of stress, and it is so time-consuming, is watching how you had to navigate the musical theater process also with auditions, pre-screens, picking out songs and monologues and everything that goes into it. It's like doing double duty. It was a lot of work.
Yeah, I definitely think that it was very stressful having to worry about the different requirements for different schools as far as auditions go and learning songs and monologues, and also having to write, you know, up to 3 essays per school and do all the things that the Common App requires. And like you were talking about, it was a lot to...
Yeah, I remember us making a chart. Each of the, I don't know if there were 7 or 9 or what we ended up with schools, and we would, okay, how many minutes do they want this monologue? Oh, 2 minutes. Oh, this school wants 1.5 minutes. Well, this song needs a ballad. It has to be, you know, before 19 something or other, and this one needs this or that. So it was, we had to actually chart it so that you do it correctly, because that is important. And then figuring out getting some of the pre-screens in early. Some of the colleges require that you send things in early that they can look at and then decide whether you are quote unquote invited to come and audition in person or not.
That reminds me how grateful I am that you were so involved in that, because I think that a lot of parents would just kind of be like, okay, this is a lot of work. Like, you do it, you figure it out. So could you kind of explain your thought process behind that, of like really helping me through each school?
Well, I saw how hard you were working just on the basic application, the Common App, and making sure you have everything in order just for the school. And, you know, also in addition, you were also still in high school and extracurricular activities. So I just felt good that I could help you keep a little more organized or on track by just pinning down the dates. And, you know, we kind of went back and forth a lot, because it was going back and forth. I said this, and did you look up this, and how about this? Yeah. And this one's due in 2 days, and this one's due in a week. And I'm always here to help you, but not do it for you, but help you.
Yeah, no, I don't know what I would have done with, like, if I didn't have your help, because there were so many things to do and to make sure that I got done on time. So I think that's awesome. Now, moving on, I wanted to talk a little more about the auditions themselves and about traveling to them and kind of being the parent in the waiting room and seeing what all the other parents are doing, what all the other kids are doing. I would love your perspective on what that was like.
Well, it was a learning experience for me. I really enjoyed it. You know, going to the different places that you and I went together, to the different schools, I met a lot of parents, and you know, I wanted to find out what other schools their child was auditioning for, learn about that process, why they chose those schools, just to kind of see, is there anything that, you know, that Natalie's leaving out that maybe we should consider. So it was, for me, it was enjoyable. I just felt proud to be there, and, you know, knowing that you were going after something that you wanted so bad, you know, I felt that my role was just to be there to make it as easy as possible, to be as supportive as possible, so that the travel arrangements, the hotel, the whatever it was taken care of, was easy, so that you could focus on what you needed to focus on and get to where you needed to when you did, and make sure before we left the hotel room that you had everything that you needed. I also tried to use my time wisely. If I knew you were going to be someplace for a couple of hours, I would talk to some parents, but I might walk around a little bit of the campus, look at some stuff, talk to, you know, other people that were there, ask them what it was like at the school, you know, and I know, Angela, you did this as well, you know, looked at the surrounding areas too, to say, okay, you know, what kind of neighborhoods are around here? And, you know, you were so focused, Natalie, on the audition, and I understand why. And so I was more focused on kind of like the environment, like, okay, what's it like from this part of this town where we're, or city where we're staying? And then as we get closer to the school, I'd see that side of it. Well, then I wanted to go and look at the other side of the campus too, to see, okay, what kind of neighborhoods are around here? What things are there for you to do? And, you know, and certainly I was concerned about the safety of each neighborhood.
I also enjoyed traveling to the schools and the campuses and getting the tours that were usually scheduled before or after, so you could see their facilities and see the stages and where they create the props and then where exactly some of your classes are across the campus. So you could kind of envision yourself, you know, where would I live? How do I get from point A to point B? How big or how small the campus is? A feel for what your day-to-day life would be like, other than the obvious, you really want to get into a musical theater program.
I think initially I was very concerned about really looking at the environment around the school and seeing what there was to do in the different cities and what I could do when I'm not in classes. And I think that the reality of that now is so different because I realize that I'm so busy that it and the program that I'm so happy with the program that I'm at right now, that it really doesn't matter what is around the school. It's not ultimately what's important.
I agree. Just watching you navigate your first semester, besides just your classes, there's all the extra things now that you have to do as part of going for your BFA, of going to other plays and other performances and other kinds of kids on campus that are performing, and you're required to go to those things on weekends at night. And so your extra activities are really focused on the performing arts and making sure you accomplish those things and do that besides just going to your day-to-day classes. You're really busy.
I would like to add that each one of the auditions started with the parents and the kids all in a room together with somebody from the school, from the faculty who was overseeing the auditions, kind of explaining what was going to be going on. And there was an opportunity to ask questions. Sometimes they'd introduce other people from the faculty or from the college or university. So it was really good for me to get a sense as to what the teachers, the faculty, what they're like, what they're looking for. So that was helpful.
I can comment also on what Gregory was saying about going and getting an opportunity to sit in that room and listen to the faculty and the students that are there that are already in the program. It was interesting to me how you would walk away from each one of those experiences and you could see yourself with that group of students or not see yourself with that group of students, which I think is interesting. It's kind of like, yep, there's my pack. There are the people that, there are the kids that I would fit in with.
Yeah.
And some of the schools you walked away and you were just like, you know, that's just not me. It just doesn't. So I think there really is something to that.
I definitely agree with that. And I think that by visiting each school, like you said, I really could see, I tried to pay attention to how the students were interacting with each other, which is actually advice that I would give to anyone who's auditioning for a musical theater or acting program, just because you'll, in any program, you'll end up working very closely with whoever is in your class at the school, and usually they're smaller groups of people. So I would really see like what general vibe you get from the students, and you'll be able to tell if you would fit in there and if they're your kind of people or not. Like I remember when we visited Hart, we walked into the Performing Arts Center and we were kind of standing around. We were like, okay, like we're going to observe a class now. And then a group of students just came up to us and they were like, hey, we don't know you. You look new. Tell us your name. Are you looking to study acting or musical theater? We know, tell us where are you from? What other schools are you auditioning for? The Hart students were genuinely interested in who I was and facts about me. And I just thought that was awesome.
I would agree. Yeah. They were very welcoming. We got to observe all kinds of classes and get an idea for how the certain teachers taught the particular classes and watching the students do their thing and what they had learned so far, which was, it was amazing. We saw a lot of sophomores, I think, and we were, or was it freshmen or sophomores?
I think we saw both.
Yeah, and they were fantastic.
Okay, I have one last question for both of you. A career in musical theater. What do you think about that? Because I've talked to a lot of people who say, you know, their parents don't support a career in musical theater because it's not a quote-unquote real job. And I know that you two are not of that belief, so I would just love to hear what you think of that and what you think about me pursuing this.
Well, I am a big believer that every person has to try and follow their passion. I know Gregory feels the same way. If there's something you love or something you feel pulled to learn or do, I think that's the direction you have to try it. If you get your BFA and go on to perform here, there, wherever it is, and are able to do that, that's awesome. I think the saddest thing is when you want to do something and you decide to either because of fear or because of pressure from someone else, you make another choice. Well, this is supposed to be the safe thing to do. This is the guaranteed I'll get a job, because there are no job guarantees anymore. So then you get older and you go, I wonder if, wow, what if, you know, I was a pretty good singer. Wonder if I could have been on a stage and been in a musical and done that. Well, I don't know. I'll just go back to what I've been trained to do and just keep doing that. So I believe in you. I think you're talented and you have to go for it. And then you will eventually lead to whatever it is you're supposed to do if it's something else. But this is what you love. This is what you're being pulled to do. And I don't see any other choice other than to go for it.
Well, for me, when you said this is what you wanted to do and seeing how much you had enjoyed all the dance that you had done and how you were taking your singing lessons and how much you were growing in that and enjoying it and the experience you had had in high school with acting, it made sense to me. But really, it's very simple, the way I look at it. It's your life. Whatever you put into it is what you're going to get out of it. So as you pursue your career, you know, you're going to have a lot of decisions to make. And as your mother said, yes, there are no guaranteed jobs. But when you do get a job where you go to an office 5 days a week, which is something I don't think you'd ever want to do, you do know kind of where you're going each Monday through Friday. It's not that way with musical theater. And maybe that's why a lot of parents look at it that way. Because you might have a great opportunity and it's a 10-month contract, or it's 3 months here, or it's a summer here. And then, you know, what are you going to do when that ends? You know that. And that is a life that you're choosing. When you said that's what you want to do, well, that's what you want to do. So you will live with the success of it to whatever degree that is or is not. That will be based on, you know, how much work you do, your talents, and the right opportunities coming at the right time. I know all of those things will happen for you. I know that they will. But even if they don't, there's always a lesson to take out of any experience in life. So whatever you end up doing, you're learning so many things right now that will benefit you. So I had absolutely no problem, zero problem with you pursuing musical theater. I think it's great.
Aren't my parents cool?
Yay!
You guys, you're so cool. I mean, this is awesome. Like, just having parents that support what you do, you know, there's nothing better.
For those kids that don't have that,
yeah,
you can find that in other people.
That's
even
true.
If it's not your parents. You have to surround yourself with the people that lift you up, the fountains, as I tell you sometimes, and not the drains, the people that suck the life out of you and that are negative and da 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 da. You got to surround yourself with the fountains and not the drains.
Yeah, and even if a kid listening to this doesn't have parents, or maybe one parent who's as supportive as they would like, you know, but they still pursue this. You know, it's all what you do with that. You know, you can use that. I mean, look at it. It's you don't have that from either your mom or from me, Natalie. But some people do, from a family member, from a friend, from whatever. You know, they can use that energy. It's like, I mean, people, you know, they've done it. There are people that stand up and win awards and they, you know, say, and to my high school teacher who said I would never be an actor, or I would never be whatever, you know, and then they hold up the award and they say, well, one of us was right, one of us was wrong. It can be fuel. Use it in a positive way. Use it in the most positive way possible. But, you know, if there is a burning desire inside, and here's the thing, Natalie, we talked about this, and I think this is important. If the burning desire is to be famous, well, that can be fleeting and that can become uncomfortable.
Yes.
If the burning desire is to be part of a group of people that create something on stage that people pay money to come and see and enjoy, and they just enjoy being out there and feeling that energy, and it isn't about the fame, it's about the work. and it's about the team, and it's about supporting each other and having each other's back. If that's why you want to do it, you'll probably be able to do it for a long time. If it's just for the fame, then once the fame comes, then, okay, now what do I do? What else is there? So I think that's an important consideration when deciding whether or not you want to do this, is why do you want to do it?
All right, so I thought we would culminate this little interview with a Broadway quiz.
Oh, your daddy's going to win this.
I don't know.
Okay, go ahead.
There's one in particular that I know that you're going to get that he won't know. So we'll see. Okay. So
the first answer is Alphaba.
Wait, are you kidding me? Wait, actually, okay, I'm going to move that question to later.
Was it really?
Yeah, I'm going to move that question to later. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Oh my gosh. I told you I have cool parents. Okay.
Yeah, I told you he was going to win.
No. Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll keep tallies, okay?
Okay.
Okay. Who was the original Lola in Kinky Boots?
Billy Porter.
Yes! Oh my gosh. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Name three actresses who have played Elphaba.
Idina Menzel.
Eden Espinosa.
Yes.
Oh, I can't think of her name now.
Christine.
What's her last name?
Wire.
Yes! Hey, shout out. Heart School. Woo woo.
Okay.
Okay. Good job. Okay. What is okay. Andrew Bratis's Twitter handle?
Annoying actor friend?
Yes. Good job. Okay. What is Laura Benanti's mom's name?
Oh my gosh. You know, this isn't fair. I'm going through menopause.
Oh my gosh. I can't.
All of my brain cells. All of my brain cells. Just like no hormones. No
okay.
recall.
You
just
got this.
Is it, out there. Is it Bertha?
No.
Oh, it's don't tell me. Don't tell me. Oh my gosh. Give me the first letter.
L.
Linda! It's yes. Linda. Crap.
It's
oh,
Linda.
Sorry. Go ahead.
It's okay. Finish this wicked quote. Pink goes good with...
Green.
Yes.
Good job. That was good.
Okay. What musical are the songs On My Own and I Dreamed a Dream from?
Don't... Shh. Nobody talk. Okay. It is Phantom.
No, no.
Oh, crap.
Oh,
really?
Oh, God.
Right?
Yes, that's the one.
I can hear you singing them. Okay. Oh, I don't know now.
Very famous musical. In fact, it is all sung through. There's actually no dialogue.
Oh, Les Mis.
Yes.
Okay.
Good job. Okay. Okay. Which two Broadway actors have been in both The Little Mermaid and Phantom with each other at the same time? One is male and one is female.
Oh, Little Mermaid and Phantom?
Yes.
Oh, what is his name? He's like my age. He's not my age. He's closer to my age than your age. What is his name? He was on Scandal.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. See, I cannot, there's no recall.
Norm.
Norm Lewis!
Yes. Yes. And
I know it.
You
I
know,
can picture her.
You know her.
I know her. I love her stuff. I love all of her little spiritual
I'll give you,
ways.
Yes. Namaste, everyone.
I know. I just, Natalie, it's that I can picture her pretty little face. Oh my goodness.
You are enough. You're so enough. It's unbelievable how enough you are.
I can okay, give me the first initial.
S.
Yes, it is.
Okay, there's a soda. Something missed.
Sierra.
Yes.
Sierra Bogus.
Yes, good job.
Yes.
See, you're working together.
My goodness.
And last question.
Yes.
What is my dream role?
Elphaba.
Good job. Okay, thank you for playing along.
It's my pleasure.
I always listen to podcasts where they have like little quizzes at the end, and I'm like, oh, those are fun. I want to do one of those. So thanks for participating in my first ever quiz.
You're welcome.
You know quite a bit about Broadway. It took you a while, but, you know, we'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll do this again sometime.
Okay, bye. Love you.
Thanks, Natalie. Talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for listening to the first episode of On My Way to a BFA. In the next episode, I'm going to tell you about my first semester, all things good, scary, and funny, and you will also hear from some of my classmates about how they are finding their way through their first year in a BFA program. Make sure to follow me on Twitter at Natalie_Nowak and at Broadway Radio for updates and tweet me with any feedback or questions. Thanks!